This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, how to get yourself to like the new Snapchat. You know you hate it. First, these tech headlines. YouTube says it mistakenly promoted a video promoting conspiracy theories on the Florida shooting. The world's largest video site said it removed the clip, labeling student an actor after it was viewed more than 200,000 times. Twitter remains in the eye of the storm as well. It has banned some kinds of automated accounts and updated its rules to prohibit users who operate multiple accounts from simultaneously tweeting, a practice common among bot operators trying to coordinate activities across legions of accounts. The move drew complaints from conservative members who claim they're being unfairly targeted by the company. Heading over to e-commerce, the trend in online shopping, not shopping online. The hottest thing in China's online shopping world is brick-and-mortar stores. Inman, which started as an online-only women's fashion brand but now has opened 450 shops, shows why. China is home to the world's biggest e-commerce market and has the highest online penetration as a percentage of total retail. Coming up, how to embrace the new Snapchat and why you should. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. So, as we all know, Snapchat used to be Snapchat, now it's Instagram, but it's attempting to hit the reset button and build something Instagram can't copy. Here to help us embrace the change and explain why it might be a good thing is personal tech columnist for the Wall Street Journal, David Pierce, who is patching in from San Francisco. Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. So let's just start here. The fact that you need to write a guide on how to perhaps enjoy the new Snapchat, what does that say about how users are feeling right now?
It says they're feeling very, very, very bad. And people like to get outraged about anything that happens on the internet. There were millions against the new Facebook, and everybody hated when Twitter had 280 characters. And people tend to get used to these things. But what was weird about Snapchat is that it wasn't sort of a new feature that people liked. It was kind of a fundamental rethinking of what Snapchat is, which I think is what really threw people. There was this sense of, you know, they have 187 million people who use Snapchat every single day who have understood it one way for years. And then all of a sudden, it's this whole different sort of mental model of what Snapchat is supposed to be. And I think fairly, that threw people for a loop.
Yeah, so you broke things down. There are six steps you have for us. And let's start with step number one, learning the way of the land. Walk us through it.
Sure. So Snapchat used to be and has always been sort of intentionally confusing. This app, this update is designed to be a lot cleaner and clearer to people. So basically, it's sort of three apps in one. The first, when you open the app, is a camera. And this is what Snapchat has always been known for. And then to the left of that, if you're sort of building a mental model of the app, is it's a friends screen. And this is basically a messaging app. It's where you see stories, it's where you see chats, it's where your friends are. And on the other side is the Snapchat Discover page. And this is where you watch stuff, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. It's more like Netflix or YouTube than a social network. Shows from publishers and sort of official things from celebrities. And it's, I had somebody describe it to me as, that's where you go to hang out while you wait for your friends to get back to you, which is kind of a way that I like to think about it. So it's those three things. It's a camera, it's a messaging app, and it's a place to watch stuff.
Okay, so let's zero in on the friend aspect a little bit. Those cover your next couple of steps. Let's talk friend maintenance, some friend cleaning perhaps. What do we do?
Yeah, so this is where people got really tripped up in the new app, because before there was this difference between sort of the messaging that you did with your friends and what are called stories, these sort of ephemeral, semi-public, 24-hour long videos that people can post. And those are all now grouped together. It's just what your friends are up to. They're either sort of telling all their friends at once through a story, or they're telling you specifically, or they're telling a small group, and they're all sort of smushed together in this one place now. And what's weird about this new Snapchat is it's terrible if you have more than like 10 friends.
Mm-hmm.
It just, because it's algorithmically sorted now, so it's not super clear where people are on the list at any given time, it just kind of falls apart the more you use it. And that's very much intentional on Snapchat's part. They're working on this idea that you should be using this app with your friends, real friends who you talk to in real life. And I don't know, maybe you have more friends than I do, but my list sort of barely fills the page of people I want to talk to every single day. And when I embraced that and stopped thinking about it like Instagram, which is a place where you keep up with everybody and try to accumulate followers, and you think about it as a minimalist messaging app for people you really care about talking to every day, this thing really works. But again, it's really different from what it used to be, which is kind of a bigger, broader network of people you know and like and talk to sometimes, and it's a big change.
Right. So let's go to that next step. How do we find these people that we actually want to communicate with?
Yeah, the tricky part is you can't really.
Okay. That's a bummer.
Snapchat's always had a real discovery problem. And the key now is that you can subscribe to things that you like in Discover, and Snapchat will show you more of it. So if you really like stories from the Wall Street Journal or you really like Chrissy Teigen, you subscribe to those things, and that's a big way of communicating, I like these things, and Snap will show you more of them. And you can also, you can find your friends through their phone numbers or their usernames or things like that. But Snapchat really still has a big discovery problem. And the reason a lot of celebrities and influencers and stuff left Snapchat is because it's really hard to build a big audience there, which again is intentional, but is so different from the way that we traditionally think about Snapchat in this space.
Right. So let's move on to something that's also very important, the tapping issue. Tappable devices are dangerous, as we all know. What do we do? What should we know?
Yeah, so Snapchat is perpetually confusing, again. And I don't know how to make that clearer, but the rules, I would say, of Snapchat are a little different now because it's an algorithm. What you do is actually influencing what you see. So if you just sort of are absentmindedly tapping through your friend's stories, it's going to continue to bubble those stories up to the top of your list. And if you have a friend, I actually have a friend in mind who I won't name because that's mean, but they post on their story a ton. And I don't really care, but for some reason, I just every once in a while kind of absentmindedly tap through the story on the one in a million chance that I care. That person is perpetually at the top of my list now because not only do they post a lot, but I check it a lot. Snapchat's really great if you're intentional about how you use it. If you use it sort of with the people you want to use it with, only check the things you want to check and don't watch videos. Like if you hate watch things, it'll just keep bubbling up things that you hate.
Right.
So you have to kind of be careful about
what you hate
what
watch.
What you want, especially at the beginning, because it'll keep showing you more of that stuff.
That's good. This is important. Creepiness factor. For those of us who perhaps are prone to feeling overexposed, who want some privacy, what should we know?
Yeah, so one of the things that's clever about Snapchat is that they've found all these different ways to kind of spin the stuff that you're making,
yeah.
Right? So you make a story and Snap will show it to your friends, but they'll also put you on a map, which your friends can sort of open up to see, like, oh, where are my friends? What are they up to?
Yeah.
And then they'll collate a bunch of stories into something that's called our story. So if you're at an event, they'll pull your snap from that into an our story with a bunch of other people's snaps from that event, and they kind of create this picture, which if you're willing to be part of this ecosystem, is actually very cool. It's a really neat way to get sort of first-person perspective on anything from wherever you are. But it can be really creepy. There's something deeply odd about the first time you open the snap map feature, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's me. And all my friends can see where I am right now. And you can control those things. And there's a feature called ghost mode that shuts them all off. And you can actually go in, and Snap offers pretty good granular controls over your privacy. But it's the kind of thing that you're opted into a lot. And it's worth spending 5 minutes going in and seeing what you're actually signing up for.
Exactly. Always important to note. So, wrapping it up with step six, this is, I like how you did this. It's important to embrace the uniqueness. You offer some good perspective here. It's a nice way to bring it home. What should we ultimately just realize here?
Yeah, Snapchat is very much, even more so than it ever has been, its own thing. There's this funny thing that happened where Kylie Jenner tweeted about how she didn't use Snapchat anymore. A bunch of people were like, oh no, Snapchat's dead. And from what I know about the people at Snapchat. Yeah, and from what I know about people at Snapchat, they're saying, no, that's exactly the point. Like, Snapchat is not for you to watch Kylie Jenner's videos.
Mm-hmm.
Snapchat is it's a place for you to hang out with your friends. It is much more like YouTube on the one side and WhatsApp on the other than Instagram. And they're really betting on this idea that it's better to split these things where it's people you don't know and publishers versus your friends, and that this mess that we've all put together in our news feeds and timelines is not actually good or beneficial. And I think we've seen a lot of ways recently that that's true, and those things are bad when they're all put together. But Snapchat's big question is, what does it look like to put all of these things near each other but not together? And it does feel different, almost in a way that's hard to describe. But I think you can use Instagram and Snapchat and not feel like they're overlapping now, mm-hmm. which is great because they used to just kind of be
right.
the same thing, except Snapchat was harder to use and teens liked it better. So I think at this point, Snapchat is actually carving out its own space as this more personal, intimate place, which I really like. I've used it a lot more since this redesign.
Good stuff. We'll leave it right there. David Pierce, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.